You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone, the public excuse me.
Matt Lauer's gonna get the cover of Newsweek.
Maybe a balloon, cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. It was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee, a blue sleeve, a fuse ink. Use it as a tool when I blew sleep.
And so it goes. Matt Lauer. I rolled over in bed this morning at about 4 o'clock, I don't know, Associated Press. The Associated Press has a great application. I told you that before, but I'll tell you that again. So, yeah, you don't get, it's like news. Yeah, you can check it out on your iPhone or your Android device, whichever. But little Associated Press icon pops up, and so I touch it as I'm rolling over and check my phone. Matt Lauer fired by NBC. Wow. What's that noise? A monitor that was trying to boot up that makes a crazy sound though. Are you surprised? Remember, the rules of the rich and powerful are different than the rules for everybody else. And I say rich and or powerful because this stuff goes on every day around the country. In a lot less visible places than NBC News. What's going on, though, is I this is my own opinion, women continue to be emboldened by seeing other women come forward. And I'm sure when you have that experience, I think just as it does for veterans, when, for instance, when you watch something that hits a chord in your own personal post-traumatic stress world, you know, that stays with you for days. I remember having Cal Humphrey on, and he's a Iwo Jima veteran, and fought in one battle, the Battle of Iwo Jima. And when I thanked him for coming on, he said, "It's okay." And I said, "He said it's my privilege to talk to other Marines about this." He said, "But I don't dwell on it." He said, "When I have dreams and it keeps me awake," he said, "and this will keep me up for a day or two." He said, "I don't lay in bed and fret about it. I get up and I read." And so, post-traumatic related mental health. So, for women across the country, watching other women come out and in the glare of spotlights say, "This is what happened to me and it was wrong." And then, lo and behold, all of a sudden, for whatever reason, now we pay attention to it. Now we pay attention to it, which I think is pathetic. I grew up mostly raised by my mom, and I had three sisters in the house. And I got it in surround sound about how to treat a woman and all the rest of that stuff. But again, I think that like a lot of things, when you're a kid and you find out the rules that apply at home don't really apply to you everywhere if you live in that world. And I didn't spend too much time in that world, honestly. When I started playing baseball, and when I was probably 16, 17, and people started giving me rides, and I honestly, for the first time in my life, got away from my mom, my coaches. They coached me in high school. I went to all boys Catholic high school. I went to Catholic grammar school where I was taught by the nuns. And I lived a pretty structured life. My life was pretty supervised. And I didn't realize that the rules don't apply, you know, everywhere. And then, you know, so I start playing baseball and not on my high school team, but on other teams. And I'm hanging out with guys that didn't go to my high school. And I'm listening to them talk. And I'm like, whoa, this is a whole world that I don't even know about. And I wasn't completely insulated. But what I didn't really embrace, the rules as they were laid out for me in my house, I thought were okay. There was always an expectation of my conduct, and there was always an expectation that I would achieve. Now, I didn't always live up to that. More on the achievement side than the conduct side. I was a pretty decent kid. But I always felt empathy for people that got picked on. For whatever reasons, when I was a kid, my mom loved that about me. That was one of the things she loved about me. And I don't know, where does that come from? I don't know. But imposing yourself on, and I don't know that I ever had that much confidence with girls, you know, to impose myself on a woman. I probably didn't. And, so interesting. You know, why now? You know, yeah, it's 2017, but come on, we've been in this age for a long time. So anyway, interesting way to start off the day. Probably the guy who's most upset by it is Kim Jong-un, who orchestrated his ICBM shot to coincide with being on our primetime news. And then he gets crushed off it. He gets crushed off it by Matt Lauer. You got to be pissed. Tee up the next one. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. I did a bunch of research about Colonel Wesley Fox yesterday. And so, and I found some cool, very, very cool stuff. He passed away late last week, and he was truly one of those guys in the Marine Corps. Like I said yesterday, when you look at guys and say, that's what a Marine looks like, you point at Wesley Fox. He looks like, and Roger Turner looks like Wesley Fox. So if you look at a picture of Brigadier General Roger Turner, I knew Turner when he was second lieutenant. And when you saw him, you're like, that's what a Marine looks like. Like that dude right there. Big dude, square jaw, clear look in his eye. And so it's funny because in the interview you'll hear, Colonel Fox talks about being places and people looking at him saying, you must be a Marine. And he'd say, as a matter of fact, I am, or I was, or however he would answer that. So you're going to hear an interview from him, and it was done by a veterans project affiliated with the Library of Congress / National Archives. And so they sit down with veterans and they capture in long format. So the interview, I want to say, It's in two parts. It's almost 50 minutes. Yeah, and it talks about where he grew up, how he joined the Marine Corps, how he did go. We were talking yesterday. Well, how did he get commissioned, and how did that happen? And yeah, he got mullen told as he was in Paris actually. So, but raised on a farm in Virginia, had every intention of going back, but never got there. Until late in life, and then he didn't need to be a farmer anymore. So, on a week that we celebrate the life of a legendary Marine, Colonel Wesley Fox, you'll hear him here after we check some news headlines. So that going on today, and then tomorrow, Wesley Fox was Tom Drowdy's XO. So. Tom Drowdy going to join us tomorrow, and we'll talk about, get Tom's thoughts on the passing of Wesley Fox and one other guy, I'm working on it. I don't have clothes, so I don't want to talk about it yet. So hopefully he'll come on. I know that he knows. I know that he knows Colonel Fox. So working on that as well. And then so after we hear the interview that was recorded with Colonel Fox, and again he talks. It's really interesting his observations about the Marine Corps in Korea, how unprepared the Marine Corps was for Korea. The Marine Corps had gone down to 68,000 Marines from what? I don't even know the number in World War II. You know, gigantor numbers in World War II. So, yeah, and then have to stand it back up. He talks about attacking up hills in a column. That they had people that were that inexperienced. And the difference that he saw in Vietnam. But his tours in Vietnam, he first goes to be an advisor. And he's not happy with that. At the end of the tour, he's not happy. And you'll hear him talk about, you know, supposed to be on search and destroy operations, but they were more like search and avoid operations. And so he extends to, as a first lieutenant, hoping that maybe he can command a company. And ultimately he does command Alpha Company 1-9, and it's in the last major Marine Corps operation in the Vietnam War, which is Operation Dewey Canyon. And he, as a company commander, he's awarded the Medal of Honor. And it's really interesting to hear him talk about it, because he talks about it. He said, you know, I don't, it's not like I did something crazy like Audie Murphy did. I didn't jump up on a tank. He said it was for my leadership. And so he said, I'm really proud to wear this, and I love to wear this because it represents the work of my company. And I wear it for them. Every time I put it on, I remember those Marines. He said, and he talks about trying to get one of his lieutenants who was killed in the attack. He said he deserves the Medal of Honor for what he did on the ground that day. He said, but, you know, the problem with the Medal of Honor is that you need two eyewitness statements. And people that saw what he did were killed. So he said, so anyway, so it's an awesome interview that you'll hear today. And then after that, Chris Woodbridge, who's the editor and publisher of the Marine Corps Gazette, he will join us. And we'll talk to him about the December. We'll talk, we didn't have him on in November, so we'll talk to him about both the November and December editions of the Gazette. I'm remiss in not doing that. So, a busy morning here on All Marine Radio. Again, my comments about Matt Lauer are, one, don't be surprised, right? And there's, you know, news stories out that the Congressional Black Caucus is encouraging John Conyers to resign his seat. He has gone back to Michigan, evidently. He was seen on a flight last night. Missed two votes on the House floor, heading back to Michigan. And so there's only going to be more of this. And again, don't be surprised by it. It goes on every day. It goes on in the DOD. Goes on in the Marine Corps, and it's the same issue. Somebody in a position of incredible power uses that power over somebody else, uses the access that they have to other people, right? And somebody's maybe cordial relationship with them because of being professional, and tries to turn that to a sexual one. So, with that said, don't be surprised, and don't be surprised when it continues. Because just as I'm sure the accuser of Matt Lauer has watched other women come forward, there's women sitting around the country today that just watched the anchor of the Today Show get fired. And the other stories that go with this, evidently, the New York Times and Variety, which is an entertainment, you know, publication here in Los Angeles, we're both working on stories about Matt Lauer and sexual harassment. So all that's been brewing, and there was even people tweeting that the next person to fall was going to be a very high person in the news field, film at 11. So don't be surprised, and it's a good thing. So good morning to you. You'll hear more. You'll hear an interview that Colonel Wesley Fox did. It's like I said, it's awesome. And what you're going to hear is you may have seen clips from this. I saw a 10-minute clip from it. But this is the whole thing, to include, you know, the dudes filming who are saying, okay, could you talk about this now? Or you'll hear Colonel Fox start coughing. And he has a coughing fit. He said, hold on, I need some water. And he drinks some water. And so, you'll hear all of it, and it's good stuff. I hate when they do that with, you know, you got a guy like that, and he sits down and talks to you for 60 minutes, and you pull 10 minutes out of it. Well, Mark, people only listen, you know, the average bro. Like, I don't care, man. Give them the whole thing. And good on the National Archives, and this project, this Veterans Project, for, you know, you can have the 10-minute version, or you can listen to the whole thing. So we'll get a chance to listen to the whole thing today. So with all that said, good morning to you on a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio. Colonel Wesley Fox, in his own words, coming up after the news, and then Chris Woodbridge, in his own words, he'll join us, the editor and publisher of the Gazette. We'll talk about him. Yeah, the guy... Yeah, Kim Jong-un, like, are you kidding me? Matt Lauer just rained on my parade. I do this whole launch. I alter the time. And now what do I get? I get nothing. Where's the PAO? Where's the PAO? The other crazy story, you know, out this morning is, and there's a picture of him doing this, but at The Hague in the Netherlands, Croatian state TV reported Wednesday that a convicted Croatian war criminal has died after swallowing what he said was poison, seconds after a United Nations judge confirmed his 20-year sentence for involvement in crimes during the Bosnian War of 1990. In a stunning end to the end of the final case in the UN's International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia, Slobodan Preljic yelled, "I am not a war criminal," and appeared to drink from a small bottle. The tribunal spokesman, and there's a picture of it with the story with the Associated Press, when asked if he could confirm the death, said, quote, "I have no information to share at this point." The courtroom where the dramatic scene unfolded was sealed off, and presiding judge Carmel Angsis said that it was now a crime scene so that the Dutch police could investigate. Police in The Hague declined comment on the case. How about that? This guy was 72 years old. He's dead. So, how about that for, wow. Anyway, good morning to you. Oops. Paul Ryan just is holding a press conference saying that the House, Congress will not tolerate sexual harassment. Are you kidding me? Come on, man. You said that with a straight face? You guys are clowns, and the nation knows it. So with that said, motivation cued now. Boom!
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
Check the weather around the world right now. Currently sunny and 54 in Quantico. Mostly cloudy, 64 at Camp Lejeune. In Texas, clouds in 53. Montana, clouds in 36. Torreon Palms, clouds in 51. Camp Pendleton, clouds in 47. That would be your cold spot. In Marineland. Okinawa, dark. Actually, a warm night in Okinawa in the winter. I think it's winter there. I'm not sure. Dark, cloudy in 74. In Syria, it is dark, cloudy in 62. Mars is dark, clear in 56. At the home of All Marine Radio, partly cloudy 53. Headed for 70. Degrees today here in Southern California. That is a look at your weather. We'll check some headlines. The world is consumed with Matt Lauer. Supposedly he sexually assaulted somebody. Allegedly, right? You have to say allegedly. Allegedly sexually assaulted somebody at the Olympics 2 years ago. Yeah, NBC News says they got one complaint. I don't think that's true. I think they knew they knew the stories that the New York Times and Vanity and Variety were working on. And then, anyway, homeless vet, just looking for Marine Corps headlines. There's a good map out now that shows the trajectory. And so now the entire United States can be covered by a ballistic missile from North Korea. The question is, have they done the engineering that's required to get a nuclear tip to go into outer space and come back out of outer space without being compromised. So they'll have to do a little work on that. And then beyond that, F-35 is working up in Alaska to see if it can work in cold weather. A Russian jet buzzed a Navy aircraft, causing violent turbulence. You know, there's certain protocols for intercepts that get, and so when you see these stories, it means the Russians didn't follow, and they never do. The Chinese either, right? When you get close to them, they let you know, right? And so there's rules of the road to run an intercept, right? And you're in international airspace, but it doesn't mean when you encroach on somebody's sovereign airspace that they don't come say hi to you and escort you, yada, 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 yada. So, the Russians and the Chinese, they like to get close to you. They like to get close to you. So, so that in the news. But, so again, slow news day in the DOD. And then we'll go to the early bird. How about that for a quick one? The other thing I started glancing at recently was Stars and Stripes. The Air Force adds bonus for switching to new retirement system. You know, normally a new retirement system, that's code, meaning you're going to get less. So, I'm not exactly sure how they've done that. Normally, when it's done in a private pension plan, or a lot of, even in a public pension plan, they move you from, like, your dad's, pension account. That's called a defined benefit plan, where it says if you put in 20 years, you get this, to a defined contribution plan, which is essentially a 401k, which means we'll put in part, you put in part, and then you retire with this. Which gets them off the hook, because if you don't put in your part, guess what they don't have to do? They don't have to match it. So it's a way to essentially, when you're paying that to middle wage earners, are they going to be putting a lot of money away? Probably not. Are you going to have to match it? Probably not. So it's really a way of unloading your pension, and then you can look at them and say, hey, we did our part. You just didn't contribute. So that's on you. Right. So here's a few headlines from Stars and Stripes before we get to the early bird. Tillerson faces resistance from Europe over troop increase in Afghanistan. NATO allies will be under pressure to provide more troops for Afghanistan when the Secretary of State arrives in Europe this week. But his push may face resistance, even as more U.S. troops deploy on the battlefield. And yesterday, Lieutenant General Nicholson, announced that American troops would be involved in more of the fighting, not less of it. So I think that's trying to prepare us for more casualties. Quote, NATO's resolute support mission is essential to our shared goal of ensuring that Afghanistan develops the capability to contribute to regional stability and prevail over terrorist threats, including Al-Qaeda and ISIS, Tillerson said at the Wilson Center think tank in Washington. But so far there's been little sign of an appetite for increasing troops in Europe for doing stability, anything more than stabilizing Afghanistan. So that in the news this morning. Also, there's continuing speculation about the actions of one of the pilots that was flying the C-2. And so we haven't seen too many of the details from the Navy yet. But as more details come out in terms of the proximity of the crash to the Ronald Reagan, It now appears that the crash occurred fairly close to the carrier. Navy Lieutenant Stephen Combs determined an emergency landing of his transport plane on the choppy waters of the Philippine Sea was necessary as the aircraft he was piloting failed only miles from the deck of the USS Ronald Reagan. 28-year-old pilot's decision to land the C-2A Greyhound in the water ultimately saved the lives of 8 of 11 people aboard the aircraft. Combs' co-pilot told Navy investigators probing the November 22nd crash. Lieutenant Combs' co-pilot was effusive in his praise. He said he flew the hell out of that plane. It was heroic, a remarkable piece of flying that was instrumental in saving 8 lives. Even in his last moments, he was looking out for others. I wouldn't have expected anything else, said Elizabeth Combs, the pilot's sister. So more of that as the information and official statements get made available. But again, that is an aircraft that does not fail very often. Phil Mendelevin, we'll see more on that. Lieutenant General Nicholson, U.S. troops will assume more risk in Afghanistan in the next fighting season. I alluded to that a little bit ago. I'll give you the quotes from what he said. Yes, there will be greater risk, absolutely, Nicholson told reporters from Kabul. Advising from the Kandak, the Afghans' equivalent of an American battalion, will put U.S. troops in a better position to provide Afghan commanders advice during the fight, as well as increase their ability to call in for American supporting arms, such as air power, artillery, and medical evacuation. Yes, there is greater risk, absolutely, Nicholson told reporters from Kabul. Again, what you're seeing is this is what happened in Iraq and Syria, which led to much quicker progress on the ground. And so you're seeing that cloned and now going to be used in Afghanistan. We initially the model called for at the Corps, the regiment, right? They would have advisors, but nobody down with the battalions. When they began to experiment with that, they found that the responsiveness of our supporting arms obviously increased, and that it was a good thing to do, and it made progress much faster. So you're going to see that happen in Afghanistan. The United States has added about 3,000 troops in Afghanistan, bringing the total there to 14,000, and lifted several restrictions on using air power against the Taliban, calling the new strategy a game changer. Nicholson said the adjustments were already making a difference in the long-running war that he has characterized as a stalemate since last year. Quote, that's why I express confidence that we are on our way to a win, he said on Tuesday. The new strategy aims to drive the Taliban to negotiate a ceasefire within 2 years. To achieve that, Nicholson said, Afghan forces will need to gain control of about 80% of Afghans, nearly 36 million people, by 2019. Nicholson provided a more optimistic assessment yesterday, announcing the Afghans controlled about 64% of the population and the Taliban controlled about 12, with the remaining 24% uncontrolled by either. So you have that going on. And then top stories in Early Bird. Let me read you a quick email here. Matt Lauer, he can't go away fast enough. I didn't think he was very professional, and this is not the first time you've heard these kind of rumors. If you pay attention to the media, most people don't. Most people got up and saw congenial Matt. What I don't understand, for the second time in about 10 days, we have anchors expressing affection in some way, how crushed they are, which seems to me to being sympathetic to the perpetrator. Is it me? I didn't see the thing this morning. I saw the transcripts of it. And I would say this. When you have to go out and you know you're going to make history, you should choose your words very carefully. Right? So whatever you say is going to echo through the nation. You ought to be cognizant of that. And were it me and it was my colleague that was fired that quickly and I didn't have the details, I could say we're shocked. I would say we're shocked, but I would save people from the personal relationship stuff, because guess what? There's somebody on the other end of that who got abused. And so to me, when you go down that road of, about your relationship with that person, it seems to be twinged with identifying with the perpetrator. So I know these women, don't mean it that way. They're just, I'm caught in the moment maybe, but it's certainly, and then if you're confused what to say, don't say anything. I got nothing to say. If that's as good as it gets, then so be it. All right. We'll do the early bird real quick. And then you'll hear Colonel Wesley Fox in an interview that honestly is great. He grew up on a farm. He tells these stories that are great. They didn't have enough money for a tractor, so they still plowed with horses. He was too young to go to World War II, but he watched it. You'll hear some other cool stuff. He says his first 4 years in the Marine Corps, he didn't own civilian clothes. When he went back to work on the farm on leave, he wore his utilities to go out to the fields and work. When he went to town, he wore his Marine Corps uniform. That's how much he loved being a Marine. So, that's why he's an iconic figure in the Marine Corps. All right. Top five stories in the early bird. Korea's launch is number one. A story that comes off of BuzzFeed that I think is kind of, I don't want to say it's much to do about nothing, but it has to do with a Navy intelligence officer, saying that she deploys to Afghanistan. She's going to work in counterintelligence. They have stuff that can look into people's phones. So she says the only number she could remember was her boyfriend's son's number. So she puts his number on. Well, that hits a filter because it's a domestic American number registered to an American citizen, which gets flagged. And so the headline is NSA caught Navy officer illegally trying to pry into an American's phone. So again, the footnotes of the story kind of take the wind out of it. And either she suspected something nefarious was going on with her boyfriend's son, or she, according to her, she said that was the only number. That was the only number that she could remember. Now, do you buy that? Anyway, they don't give the identity of the female Navy officer who was involved in it. That's a story, though. Three, Air Force failed to report dozens of service members to gun database. Now, this story is important because the Air Force said that they failed on about 50% of the occasions that they were supposed to report this, they failed. The Army was like at 74% or something like that. And then the Navy was like 92%. Dozens of Air Force service members charged with or convicted of serious crimes were never reported to the Federal Gun Background Check Database as required, Air Force officials said on Tuesday. The revelation came after the Air Force disclosed that it had failed to report the domestic conviction of Devin P. Kelly, the gunman who opened fire in a church in Texas earlier this month. Under federal law, Mr. Kelly's court-martial conviction for domestic assault should have prevented him from purchasing a gun at a store, which is how he purchased the rifle he used in the attack, as well as other guns he acquired over the course of the past 4 years. After the Air Force admitted on November 6th that officials at Holloman Air Force Base in New Mexico had failed to report the results of Mr. Kelly's court-martial to the federal background database, it began an investigation into how many other serious incidents had not been reported. Although officials have only examined a portion of the cases, several dozen have already surfaced that were not supported but should have been. The error in the Kelly case was not an isolated incident, and similar reporting lapses occurred at other locations, the Air Force said in a statement. Although policies and procedures requiring reporting were in place, training and compliance measures were lacking. Air Force officials say they are reviewing the results of the inquiry to date to assess whether to take any punitive action against personnel who failed to report Mr. Kelly's conviction. So, again, that's the first one. The other services are worse than the Air Force. Sadly, the Syrian Kurds, friends of ours, right, getting ready to get the boot. So now we're going to see what happens to Syria. Now we're going to see what happens to Syria in post, well, whatever, I don't even know what we're calling Syria now. Is it post-conflict? It's different stage of a conflict. It's pending conflict. It's ongoing conflict in a different form. I'm not exactly sure. It's conflict in Syria without ISIS. And so now we're going to turn on the Kurds. So anyway, the United States is going to dance with no partners. The Donald Trump administration plans to ask Kurdish fighters in Syria to return U.S. weapons loaned for the fight against the Islamic State, but the administration is not ending all support despite growing pressure from NATO ally Turkey. NATO ally, but not very much of an ally, Turkey. However, we do use the air base at Incirlik, so they do have leverage over we, the United States. The message from the White House and Pentagon officials on Monday appeared to walk back assertions from Turkey's top diplomat that Trump had promised to cease support to Kurdish elements of the Syrian Democratic Forces, the SDF. Turkey considers that group, Kurdish faction, the People's Protection Units, or the YPG, to be a terrorist group. Once we started winning the campaign against the Islamic State, the plan and part of the process is to always wind down support for certain groups, White House spokesman Sarah Huckabee Sanders told a briefing on Monday. Now that we're continuing to crush the physical caliphate, we're in a position to stop providing military equipment to certain groups, but that doesn't mean stopping all support of those individual groups. Okay, so what does that mean? It means the United States is trying to find a way in Syria to continue to support the Kurds, but it takes them in a position where they would be opposed by Turkey and Iraq, two allies. So, and then the fifth story. China is racing for artificial intelligence military superiority over the United States, according to a report. Well, they need to, man. They need to protect their secrets that they've stolen from us, and now they'll improve on them, and then we'll try to steal them back, and we won't be able to do it. China no longer is technologically inferior to America, has become a peer, and may have the capability to overtake it, according to one American think tank. The think tank is the Center for a New American Security, and it was released yesterday. Quote, China is no longer in a position of technological inferiority relative to the United States, but rather has become a true peer, in parentheses, competitor, and may have the capability to overtake the United States in AI. Future U.S.-China competition in artificial intelligence, quote, could alter future economic and military balance of power. So, interesting. And there's a link that says China's AI industry has one huge advantage over the United States. Question is, what's that advantage? So now I've got to click on it. And that advantage is, stand by, China's 1.4 billion population has laid an inevitable foundation for the artificial intelligence industry thanks to the tremendous volume of data produced daily. In particular, the nation's 730 million internet users, including the world's largest market of smartphone users, contribute to the vast data goldmine. So, the demand for, because of that data, the demand for the ability to refine that and make decisions on it is huge in China, which is why they will. But let me tell you why that argument falls on deaf ears, possibly. And that is, what is the only, there's only two places in the world that protect intellectual content. And that is why all major intellectual content, patents, things like that, come to the United States and Western Europe. Why? Because they will actually protect those patents and enforce them. Other than that, they're knocked off, they're ripped off, yada, 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 yada. So, we'll see. We'll see. Ominous headline, though. Ominous headline. There's a map. You can go to, where's the map I saw? I think it's in Military Times. If you're looking for a map of the trajectory of the missile launch yesterday, I think there's one in the military. Yep. If you go to the Military Times article, you can see it, and it shows the launch, which took place in kind of the central part of North Korea along the western, towards the western edge, not along the coast, but inland a little bit. And then the missile landed just outside what's called the Japanese exclusion zone, economic exclusion zone, which protects fishing rights. So, 250 kilometers from the Japanese coast. So, highest point, which means that, what, 2,500 miles, in straight up. So, you saw Secretary Mattis saying that, yeah, they could range any city in the United States with that missile. Now, the other part is the what goes on the tip of that missile. So that technology is yet to be confirmed, and so film at 11 on that deal. So we'll keep you posted. The no major stories about the Marine Corps. No major stories, which I would think the Commandant would be pleased about. So, with that said, we're going to take a break. Colonel Wesley Fox, you'll hear from him coming up next. He passed away tomorrow. Tom Drowdy's going to come on and talk about him. Working on a couple other guests to come on and talk about him. Again, a true Marine Corps legend. And never finished high school, and rose to the rank of colonel in the Marine Corps. You do not see that very often. So sit back, relax, enjoy the morning. After the interview with Colonel Fox, you'll hear Chris Woodbridge. He is the editor and publisher of the Marine Corps Gazette, so he's going to join us, and we'll talk about what's in this month's Gazette. So don't touch that dial. Whoa, 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 whoa. We already did that. Stand by. Yeah, there we go.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts at 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.